Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, guys. So if you want to take notes and write down the verses, you can. If you have a Thompson Chain Bible, just go to 1253 and they're all there. So it's the favor and pleasing God is what we're going to be talking about this morning. And just as a way of starting, 2023, Ted was saying, just about over, two more months, and it's been a rough, and I won't share everything today, and I won't share other people's stuff. I'll just share my own. It's been a rough year health-wise. I'm a young guy, I think, and I'm not so young. Two somewhat major things happened to me this year. I had prostate surgery about 3 weeks ago, and that went well, and I'm recovering well. And they found a little cancer in there, and it's stage one, and it's grade one, and it's not a big deal. But you just never want the word cancer in your name in the same sentence. And the good news, bad news is I look exactly like my father, and apparently I have his genes. He had the same cancer. And then in January, I don't get sick very often. I don't miss work very often. I probably missed, maybe 5 days in the last 27 years at my work. And I got sick. I got a virus. I got violently ill in January just for, I think, 2 days. I maybe missed 1 day of work. I had nausea, I had vomiting, I had dizziness, and I lost hearing in my right ear during that. And I just figured it got clogged, it got wax or something, and I just went to the doctor this week and I found out, nope, it's not wax. The virus attacked my nerve, and that's probably permanent. And, they're just these little hits that we take that remind us we're aging. Remind us we're decaying. And I was just talking with Sandy, and as I was praying this morning, and even as I was worshiping this morning, I got to tell you, some of the things that we've been going through, I kind of feel dead. And it turns out that's okay, because really, it's no longer I that live, it's Christ that lives in me, and He lives. And so I think a big part of our journey is getting rid of ourself and having Christ live in us. And that's what God's kind of been doing in our lives. We'll start with John chapter 8, verses 21 through 30, and I'll give you a second to look that up, because I'm going to look it up. There's going to be a lot of scriptures. That's why I was mentioning, if you didn't want to write them down, you can go to the Thompson Chain. So John chapter 8. Verses 21 through 30. Okay, so I'll read that. Then Jesus said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me, and will die in your sins. Where I go, you cannot come. So the Jews said, will he kill himself because he says, where I go, you cannot come? And he said to them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. And then they said to Him, who are you? The key question, right? And Jesus said to them, just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but He who sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I heard from Him. They did not understand that He spoke to them of the Father. Then Jesus said to them, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And He who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please Him." As He spoke these words, many believed in Him. So our focus is on verse 29, the phrase, "For I always do these things that please Him." First, let's look at our passage. Jesus is speaking with the Jews. He shares the gospel with them. He tells them, "You are from beneath the world and cannot come with Jesus because you don't believe in who I am." Jesus says, "I am from above. I am not of this world. I am eternal. You are of the world. You will die in your sins. You do not believe that I am who I say that I am." Jesus says clearly, "God the Father is true, and He sent me. I speak to the world those things which I heard from Him." Now Jesus predicts His death when He says to them, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He." Who? The Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One. And the Jews knew He was claiming to be God at this point because He says this. And they accuse Him of blasphemy. Jesus teaches us how to live here. He says, "I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things, and He who sent me is with me." We are to do nothing of ourselves, but as our Father has taught us, we are to know that He who sent us is with us. To be taught by God means we need to listen and be ready to process. So let's go on to verse 43 in the same chapter. "Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. So let your heart be convicted on that verse. Are you ready to be able to listen?" Now remember, the Jews were the teachers of the law. They were Pharisees. They memorized Bible scriptures. Now I have a few Bible scriptures memorized, but I mean they memorized the Torah. They memorized the prophets. They were gifted. They actually seeded them out. So when they were 9, 10, 11, 12, they were in Bible school. They were in Hebrew school, and the rabbis picked the ones that were best at memorizing the scriptures to move on and continue. The Pharisees sought to please God by following the mitzvot, 613 laws. But Jesus says to them, "Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word." This is called dullness and spiritual deafness. Maybe we are too busy living life in this world with our daily tasks to sit and listen to God. Maybe we are like the Pharisees and quote-unquote have it all figured out and quote-unquote know everything, so we don't need to hear from God. Or maybe we are just stubborn people. Verse 47 says, "He who is of God hears God's words." Then He says to the Jews, "Therefore you do not hear because you are not of God." Back to our 29. "The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please Him." Just like Jesus, God promises He will be with us. He will not leave us alone. Jesus is our example. He's our rabbi. He's our teacher. So if we are His disciples, then we want to live the way He lived. In the first century, even before that, the rabbis had their disciples that followed them. And they did everything he did. They ate when he ate. They slept when he slept. They prayed when he prayed. They were there when he healed. They were there when he preached. And their goal was to be like their rabbi, to walk the way he walked and speak the way he spoke, to pray the way he prayed, to please the Father the way he pleased the Father. One thing Jesus did that pleased her was to claim that he was one with the Father, the Son of Man, the great I Am. And are we able to agree with this? Do we agree that Jesus was who he said he was? So, as you know, many people in the world say that Jesus was a great prophet. That's what Islam says. Jesus was a great prophet. Some say he was an excellent teacher. And the Jews will give him that he was a great teacher. But is this enough? No. Jesus is Lord. He's the Word. He's the Son of God. He's the one that Isaiah 9 speaks of. He's the Wonderful Counselor, the Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. God spoke from heaven at Jesus' baptism in Matthew 3:17, and he said, "And suddenly a voice came from heaven, saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" This was heard by John the Baptist, his cousin, and his disciples. When did John the Baptist discover who Jesus was? He was in the womb, right? He was in his mom's womb and he jumped when Jesus and Mary came in. Jesus in the womb too. So he had the Spirit of God in him to tell him who Jesus was. And only the Spirit of God can reveal this to us as well. The disciples of John the Baptist must have been amazed to hear the voice and to see the Holy Spirit come down from heaven like a dove. We need to listen to hear the Father speak to us and pay attention so we can see with our own eyes the work of the Holy Spirit going on around us. Paul speaks of pleasing God in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 4. "But as we have been approved by God and entrust the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts." How often do we say Psalm 19:14? To ourselves? We should probably make this verse part of how we start each day. "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer." This prayer expresses our desire to please God in our word and in our attitude. While acknowledging the source of our strength and humbly acknowledging our need for a Redeemer. Have you had low points in your life? When you came to accept Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior, did you come to a point so low couldn't make it in life without a Redeemer? Have you been at a place in life where you are hurting day and night for the circumstances in your life? That's when our faith becomes very real to us. And what does God say? He says, "Fear not." Jesus says, "Do not fear." Of course, that's an entire study, and we may have to do that study regarding fear. And there's good fear and there's bad fear. Paul continues in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1. "Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God. So we see here that in addition to our words and our meditations of our heart, the actions of our lives are important. Proverbs 4:27 says to ponder the path and let all our ways be established. When we go to Hebrews 11:5, we read about Enoch. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. We might ask, how did Enoch please God? What was it about Enoch's walk that pleased God? The next verse in Hebrews 11 tells us the answer. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So let's pause for a moment. Do you believe that God exists? Do you believe that Jesus exists? Do you believe that the Holy Spirit exists? I do. I know you all do too. Now, do you believe he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him? Do you believe that right now? Today? Solomon pleased God in 1 Kings 3, 1 through 15. And let me turn there. So we're going to go to 1 Kings chapter 3. It's interesting when you read something you've read many times and then you get more out of it. Where the word of God is. All right. Now Solomon made a treaty with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and married Pharaoh's daughter. Then he brought her to the city of David until he had finished building his own house, and the house of the Lord, and the wall all around Jerusalem. Meanwhile, the people sacrificed at the high places because there was no house built for the name of the Lord until those days. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father, except that he sacrificed and burned incense at the high places. Now, the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask, what shall I give you?" And Solomon said, "You have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father, David, but I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" The speech pleased the Lord. Underline that part. The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, "Because you have asked this thing and have not asked for long life for yourself, nor have you asked riches for yourself, nor have you asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice, behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. And I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. So if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. Then Solomon awoke, and indeed it had been a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, offered up burnt offerings, offered peace offerings, and made a feast for all his servants. So as we read this, we see that Solomon's really leading a secular life. He marries the daughter of Pharaoh, who's a pagan, and he marries for a political alliance, like all the other kings did back then. He wants an alliance with Egypt, always the Egypt thing, right? He sacrificed at the high places. This is not before the God of Israel. These are the pagan gods he's sacrificing to. But God appeared to Solomon in a dream, and Solomon asked for an understanding heart to judge God's people. Solomon's speech pleased the Lord. Solomon wakes up, and he repents. He goes home, and he stands before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and he offers up burnt offerings, peace offerings, and he makes a feast for all his servants. So what we see here is that God is full of grace. He comes to Solomon as he comes to all of us in our sinful state. He blesses us. He's pleased when we are humble and turn to him. Solomon was humble. He confessed his ignorance about knowing how to rule God's people. He says, "I don't know how to do the job you've given me. Please help. The job appears to be overwhelming." Then, after God blesses him, the first thing Solomon does is go home and worship God. We find another example of pleasing God in 2 Chronicles 14. Starting at verse 2, Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. For he removed the altars of the foreign gods and the high places and broke down the pillars and cut down the wooden images. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to observe the law and the commandment. He also removed the high places and the incense altars from all the cities of Judah, and the kingdom was quiet under him. And he built fortified cities in Judah, for the land had rest. He had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. What altars do we need to remove? How do we spend our time? Man has a strong propensity to create gods, anything. Politics, money, houses, cars, power. For me, one of the things that I have to deal with is I'm a sports nut. I will watch a lot of sports on TV sometimes. I like my teams. I'm not saying it's sinful to enjoy watching a game, but I probably don't need to watch 5 on Saturday and 5 more on Sunday, and then make sure I get to see the Monday night game and the Thursday night game. And that's just football. The World Series is going on right now, too. It can get overwhelming, and it can take over every waking moment. God tells us to love him and to love others as we love ourselves. We're to spend time with God, and we are to spend time with others. We are to love God and his kingdom. We are not to love the world. We have to be really intentional about things. We should consider a book before we read it. We should consider a movie before we watch it. If we read something or see something that doesn't seem right, we may want to put down the book or turn off the movie. We need to ask ourselves if what we are doing pleases God. King David talks about pleasing God in times of struggle. And we'll go to Psalm 69. And I'm going to read verses 29 to 33. Psalm 69. He says, "But I am poor and sorrowful. Let your salvation, O God, set me up on high. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bull, which has horns and hooves. The humble shall see this and be glad, and you who seek God, your hearts shall live. For the Lord hears the poor and does not despise the prisoners. Sometimes we are like King David and come to God poor and sorrowful. We ask him for help. We know we have been blessed. We pray, let your salvation, O God, set me up on high. We pray for God to save us from death and from the troubles in this life. We can always praise God with a song. Even in the night, when life is crashing down around us and seems dark, we can always be thankful to God for his goodness and for the abundant blessings in our lives. God is pleased by our songs and our thanksgiving. We have choices in our lives every day. Some days are rougher than others. We can always choose to sing a song, to pray a prayer of thanksgiving, and God hears us. He does not despise us. We can always come to him. We're all broken. God is willing and able to heal us. Matthew tells the story of Jesus healing the man with the withered hand in Matthew chapter 12. So we'll go ahead and turn there. Starts at verse 9. I'm a little sensitive if you see my pinky here. I'm a little withered myself. Okay. So now, when he had departed from there, he went into their synagogue, and behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. And they asked him, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" That they might accuse him. Then he said to them, "What man is there among you who has one sheep? And if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value then is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand," and he stretched it out, and it was restored as whole as the other. It's interesting. What work did Jesus do? He stretched out your hand to a man. God healed the hand, right? Jesus didn't go and manipulate it. We don't know, but it doesn't say he manipulated it. It doesn't say he straightened it out. He just told the man, "Straighten out your hand," and it was healed. Then the Pharisees went out and plotted against him how they might destroy him. So what happens then is that Matthew quotes Isaiah. So when Jesus knew it, he withdrew from there, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. I like that verse. There's a lot in that verse. Great multitudes followed Jesus, and he healed them all. I don't think that went like this. I don't think that was a snap. If you saw the movie, the series, The Chosen, they do a good job on that. He healed them all. I'm thinking 12-hour shifts. I'm thinking getting to work at 7 in the morning and leaving at 7 at night. He healed them all. And I mean, maybe Jesus went, boom, you're all healed, but Jesus, he interacted with individuals. I think he healed each one by one. That's the way I visit. That's the way I see it. Yet he warned them not to make him known, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased." Remember, this is 700 years prior to the time that Matthew's sharing. Okay, so Jesus is, you know, between 30 and 33. 700 years ago, Isaiah is saying this stuff. Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will declare justice to the Gentiles. Boy, is that something interesting right in front of a bunch of Jews. You know? Okay. He will not quarrel nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break. A smoking flax he will not quench, till he sends forth justice to victory, and in his name Gentiles will trust. So Jesus is the one who pleases God the Father. And we can only please God when Jesus is in us. In Matthew, at the time of the Transfiguration, a bright cloud overshadowed Peter, James, and John. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." The voice of God was audible to Peter, James, and John. God wanted them to know who Jesus was, the beloved Son of God. God wanted them to know that Jesus pleased the Father and that they should hear him. So how do we please God? Number one, we know who Jesus is. Number two, we live with Jesus in our hearts. And number three, we hear him. Now, when we hear Jesus, we do what he commands. We love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength, and we love our neighbor as ourselves. John 8, 28 and 29 says, "Then Jesus said to them, 'When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do these things that please him.'" Think about it for a minute. Think about all that you do. Is your goal all to please God? Do you do things that don't please God? Do you plan these? I'm guessing not. I'm guessing when you do something that doesn't please God, you didn't plan it. So we read things, we do things, we do them without really thinking. We answer questions quickly, off the cuff, sometimes without even hearing the full question, without considering our words before they come out of our mouths. We are all a work in progress. God is at work in our lives. Our final consideration is found in John chapter 5, verse 30, where Jesus says, "I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." As we move on in our walk, we come to agree with Jesus more and more, and we can say, "I can of myself do nothing." We aim to stop doing what we will and always do the will of the Father. Amen.